Accession number 21111, rail 4.
Vincent Bolter, rail 4. So, we left off where you were just going to go into the Reichswald, weren't you? Yeah. So, what was that like?
Terrible.
Yeah. Did you hear that you were going to go forward to a particular...
See, we had some idea, as I told you, with these O groups, that it comes on the spur of the moment and different things. So, see, as you're moving up, so you've got to remember there was all other different regiments, and we was all in, like, the Second Army. But we, you're allocated so many, like, the 53rd Welsh, that was their job, to go into the Reichswald, and somebody else to go somewhere else. As I said... In the army, you leapfrogged a certain, we'll say East Lancashire or the Desert Rats or something, that'd be somewhere. Then the next operation, while they're doing that, you'd overjump them and go forward so that you was continuously moving.
Right. So you entered the Reichswald Forest. What was it like? What was your first impression?
Well, I can't really tell you. I know it's blinking cold. It was freezing. Well, as I said before, that even the anti-freeze in all the vehicles and different things froze.
You must have had a lot of trouble with your vehicles. How did you manage to keep them going?
Well, you couldn't until you got a little bit warmer. See, because we was in the Reichswald for over a month. It tells you in that book, we was the only ones that went right the way through.
Right.
Never seen that. Now, that's a long time, so you can see.
Yeah. So you were driving all this time, were you?
In there, yes. We had. See, with me driving and all that different thing, see, you also, you took your sappers, you also took equipment and different things. See, so things had to get there, and you also took your NCOs different places, you had to move in, and you also took your officers, but most officers then, Tom, was in what you called a half track, which was like a tank with the wheels on half a...
Yeah, right. So what were the driving conditions like? Was it easy? Oh,
terrible, because it was... The Reichswald was mud. We used to call it... chewing gum alley, because it was so muddy and everything. And of course, the sappers also had to get cut trees down to lay logs and everything to go over.
Yeah, yeah. So, how did you manage with living there? I mean, what was the sleeping and whatnot? How did you manage that?
Can't remember now. Can't remember. Well, all I know, we got through it. I can't.
Yeah. Were you sleeping in slit trenches?
Or... Yeah. Of course, the Reichswald Forest was part of the... what do you call it? The Siegfried Line. Mm. And when we got to some places and we got into some of their bunkers, what you call them, they was very, very well built. Yes, there was dug out, there was up, down, and some of the lookouts was just above the ground. Looking. But inside there was all trees, all blocked up, where they lived, slept on the top, and each bunker was connected to another one.
Really?
Yes.
What, by a tunnel? Or?
No, by, they had all the wires, and all that, They were very, very clever with their... They thought we'd never get through it, but it took a long time. But that was part of the Siegfried Line.
Yes.
The Reichswald.
So you got through, eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that a relief when you got to the other side?
I suppose so, but... after these years, you can't imagine, really. Because you took it all in your stride.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's it. Where to, then?
Oh. I should have looked up my book, shouldn't I? It's all in there.
Oh, yes, I know, yes.
So what different thing, what you can think, maybe you can easily pick it up, yes.
Yeah.
And it gives you right from day to day where we went through.
Yes, yeah. So did you manage to keep in touch with home all this time? Because you've been abroad a long time now, haven't you?
No. What you was there, you wasn't allowed to. What you was allowed to have a card to say you was all right and so and so, but you was never allowed to say where you was until 3 weeks afterwards. You can say, "Oh, I was at Caen," after you was 3 weeks away, but you could never say where you was. You couldn't say you was at Bogcote or Hamburg or anything until.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you get letters from home?
Christmas time, I did. Mm. As a matter of fact, could you turn that off just
yes,
so you
okay.
can just? Oh yes, the letters and parcels come along and everything. Yeah.
Did that mean a lot to you?
Well, it did because it kept in touch. Because you got to remember, in those circumstances. We never knew what was happening in England. I didn't know. Being Kath was my only person and Valerie was the only thing I ever had. So I didn't know what was happening in England and they didn't know what was happening in us.
Yeah.
So you couldn't tell them.
Did you always think you'd get through the war? And
I did. Something told me, I don't know whether superstitions or what, but I always said, I would get through. I don't know what made me think of that, but I always thought I'd get through.
Mm. Yeah. How were the other men, how were they coping with, I mean, having gone through the Reichswald and everything, were people getting very tired? And
no, as I said, when you're in the army and you're in a good company, you're all friends, or mates as we call them. So we all are, we made things funny and things like that. We never moaned.
Mm. Mm. Did you have a padre?
Yes.
Company? Yeah.
Yes, we did.
What was he like?
He was a nice fellow. Whenever, as I told you, when we had one of our things and we buried and we put a cross there, we always had a padre with us. He was a very nice gentleman.
Right.
And I can't think of his name.
Yeah. Did you have church parades? Or did
only in
prayers?
England.
Mm. Did he take prayers when you were over in Normandy or...?
What, in the wartime?
Yeah.
Abroad? No.
No.
No, well, where could he do it?
Yeah. Did he see much of him?
No, it's only like when we lost different people. See, they was at the back.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if someone was killed, would the padre
come up? If we got in touch with him, he would. See, he couldn't always come, but when he had the chance to come, and I said, and we made certain that the family had a photograph of the grave with a cross.
Mm. Mm. Do you think religion meant a lot to a lot of the soldiers?
No.
No.
Didn't mean a thing.
Right. Not something that really you ever talked about or...
No. There was one thing when we, as I told you, explained to you, that mostly our division was territorials from Wales. Now, what they done, they didn't, if that was all Welsh people in order division, that if that got wiped out, they'd grumble that we then. But so what they done, they mixed. We had Scottish, Welsh, English, Irish, and we was all mixed. So we was all like a Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
Happy.
What did you think of the officers when you were abroad?
Very good.
Really? You all respected them,
well,
didn't you?
Well, as I keep telling you, we in the engineers was not like infantry. Infantry always had to be, thing, you know, strict and all that and drilled. We was casual.
Yeah.
And we took everything as it come.
Did the officers have better living conditions than you when you were abroad?
Not really.
No.
Automatically they picked the best they used to live in or something. But or when we was in a chateau or something, automatically they were separate, but that didn't make no difference to us. Because I remember we was one time, and it was one of the officers' birthday, and we knew he had some whiskey or something, and one of the sabers, old Ginger Fullerton, I think it was, he said, "Well, if they're going to have a party, we have some." So somehow he managed to get some. But I didn't drink. I don't drink now. But I have when the, but I used to have to look after them. If they got a little bit tizzy, I had to see that they was all right. But they managed to pinch us some of this. But the officer noticed it, but he didn't know who'd done it.
Did you resent the officers having the better house?
No.
No.
No. As I said, when you're in England, it's different. You obey orders, you know that, and it's sir, no sir, or sergeant, or corporal. But when you're abroad, as I said, Sergeant Adams, you called him Ali, or Ginger, or Jock, or anything.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Did you have any contact with the military police at any time?
Only in England.
Uh-huh. How was that?
Well, when I was at Aldershot, Aldershot's not very far from Oxford, see. So the fellow who owned the pub down here, he was at Aldershot with me, and he used to say, "Oh, we got a weekend," and we used to sneak home. What we used to do from Aldershot, we used to go to the station. From the station, we used to have a train to Reading. Then from Reading, we'd go by bus. We used to reverse it coming back, and we used to get on the train to Reading, and then a bus thing. But you had to dodge. You can always see, you can tell her a red cap, military police, and all that. And before I went in the army, I had a friend who used to go camping with us, and he became a captain in the army. So one day I was coming home, and he said, "Hello, Vince. Don't sloop me," he said. "You don't need to sloop me, Vince," he says. So he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well," I said, "tell you the truth," I said, "I've snipped off on leave, going to see Kath." "Oh," he said, "you keep with me," he said, "I'll see you're all right." Yes, and when I come back, he said, talk to me and all that, and he said, "I'll say that you're with me." So I used to say to me, "Oh, you were a crafty devil, weren't you?"
So some soldiers thought badly of the military police, didn't they?
Well, they did, because what we thought of them is they was there to catch you. If we could dodge them, all right. That's it.
Yeah. What about the Royal Army Medical Corps? What did you think of them?
Well, we never had a lot to do with them. See, as engineers, we was a working force, like, see.
Right.
So you didn't, the only time I had anything to do was when I told you I had that carbuncle. Yes. And then it was a Canadian.
Yeah, that's right. What did you think of the German soldiers? What was your opinion of them?
Well, I didn't hate them or anything like that. Now, I'm going to jump a little bit. When the war was finished, you know, we engineers had to go different places to put things right. Is that in your right?
No, it's
had to build a bridge and put the roads right and things. And we had German prisoners and all that helping with us. Now, one time we stood, there were two or three of us, and we spoke to some ladies and all that. So naturally we said, "Are you a Nazi?" And this lady said, "Yes." "Why are you a blinking Nazi then?" She said, "Look at it this way," she said. "We, before the war, we didn't have a lot of work. We was unemployed. We had no food. We had no clothes or anything." He said, "Hitler come along and he gave us food. He gave us clothing by we joining the forces and everything. and we liked our gymnasiums and all that, and he helped us all. Naturally, he's a good man to us. He said, and it's exactly the same as you in England. We had to do our training. We done 4 years training, I think. We in England done two, didn't we, National Service. He said, naturally, when the war broke out, we was exactly the same as you. We had to go straight into the war. And that's how we became Nazis.
So you saw the German soldiers as much like you, really?
Yeah, yes. There was no... I'm taking this casual, mind, so I'm not saying where they'll get to this or that. We was in one place under flamethrowers. Deadly.
Oh, yeah. Were they?
Yeah. We came into a forest. And then a big loudspeaker was put up. And the speaker told the Germans to surrender. If they don't surrender, we'd put the flamethrowers into them, burn them out. Well, a lot of their infantry went in and all that. And, of course, with that threat and all that, they started coming out. And whilst we were standing there, one of the Germans carried a British soldier on his back. Yeah. There you are.
You were looking after him. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Mm. You must have, all the time you were abroad, seen civilians, you know, French people or Dutch people or Germans. You know, did you have much contact with them? Did you stop and talk, or if you could? Or?
Well, you had some time, but of course, as I said, I didn't like the French, so I didn't want to have a lot to do with them. As I told you about that, when they put that paint on their thing, yeah, that's the sort of thing.
Yeah. Right. Did you see anything of Operation Market Garden?
Well, that Market Garden was only a battle. Mm. So I must have gone through it.
Yes.
See, as you read that, as I said, I can't tell you the different place we went to, but that was different names of different operations we went to.
Yes.
Market Garden was a Second Army battle.
That's it, yes.
They all had different names of the battles you go through.
Yeah. And Stoutenbosch.
Oh, I've been to reunions to Stoutenbosch.
Uh-huh.
It's Stoutenbosch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Do you remember being there during the war?
Yes, when we went in there. When we got in there, everybody was so pleased and all these things. And, we was ice cream cakes to them. Yes, I've been to reunions there. Mm. Yeah. There's a photograph in that book of me at some of the reunions at Stoutenbosch.
Yeah. So you went on after the Reichswald, you went on up and into Germany, didn't
you? That's right, yeah, across the Rhine and everything.
Yeah. Do you remember crossing the Rhine?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we went from there, cutting a lot, went to Nijmegen Bridge before you goes to Arnhem.
Right, okay.
Now, when we got to Nijmegen Bridge, I saw all these horse gliders going over. And I was interested in the horse gliders for the sole reason that I built a lot before I joined the army. I was on a secret. That's why I told you, I no need of went in the army.
Right.
I was on secret work. I was on horse gliders.
Oh, yeah.
I was on a little plane hardly anybody heard of. Was a spotter plane, a tailor craft it was. And then I was moved into making landing crafts.
Right. So this was when you were in Oxford?
That was when I was in Reading, Caversham,
What was the company called that you were working for?
Elliot's.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was Elliot's firm, but it was the big engineering firm. Ooh. Yeah, it was a big engineering firm, was building all these things, aircraft and everything.
So you were actually building Horsa gliders?
Yes.
Yeah. So how were they built? Tell me about that.
How were they built?
What were they built of?
A lot of it was like plywood kind. It was all plywood, and they were all spliced together, and it was done in parts. You had the tail plane, then you had the wings, and then the thing. And before I went in the army too, before I was there, I was on repairing Hurricane planes.
Were you?
I made a Hurricane cabinet all by hand, by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it's through doing all that that I was called up in the office. My foreman took me up to the office. He said, now I'm not bragging. He took me up to, he said, the man in charge, he said, we're sending you to Reading to do the thing. So Air Foreman said, could I hold this man back? He said, I can give you 20 in his place. He said, no, because it's on special work. And these are the people we want. Because I was a cabinet maker before the thing.
Yeah. See, so you were literally making these planes in the same, using the same skills as you would as a carpenter.
Oh, yes, as a cabinet maker, yes. Yeah, because it's all delicate work.
Yeah.
It's all very skilled. It was all splicing and things like that. And bending and things like that, yeah.
So was it a big factory?
Yes. Yeah. I can't. It's a big engineering factory.
Were you working shifts there?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No. Uh-huh. See, because I had to go in lodgings in when I was in. I lodged in Caversham, and I was only laid home weekends. Yeah. But that was only on when. Because it's compulsory to do Home Guard. And I was on the guns.
Yes.
All
right.
So that was compulsory.
Yes.
So when I went home, I used to bike all the way to Reading and all the way back. You wouldn't do that today, would you?
No, no. Yeah. So tell me some more about these planes. I mean, you had a big production line, did you, making them all?
No, it wasn't on the production line because, well, the factory is a big factory, but it wasn't production. It was in separate departments. And one separate part would be doing, as I told you, the tail plane. Another section would be doing the main wings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at the Nijmegen, I saw these planes. I told you I was very interested, and I saw these planes going over, and I said to some of my mates, I made a lot of them, and it wasn't till afterwards that my brother-in-law, he was in one of them, and he got killed at Arnhem, and it's only when I came out of the army that I found a kid. But when I went to Stoggenbosch for a reunion, we went round to all different graves, the Oxford and Bucks, and all the things, and we had wreaths and put them on them. And I said to him, oh, I said, my brother was killed at Arnhem. Oh, was he? So I said, yeah, so, all right, then we go to Arnhem. So we went to Arnhem and came to Arnhem, and there was they've kept it up lovely. And you went through this archway, and the man in charge who looked after him, one of the officers, Colgrave, I think it was, said, oh, this sapper, brother-in-law, is buried here. What was his name? I said, forgot my son.
Never mind.
Pushman.
Yeah.
I said, he was Corporal Pushman. Oh, yes. What regiment? I said, well, he was in the Northampton. I said, then he became one of these pilots, you know. He said, right, he said, I'll go along, he said. He goes into this, like, church place. He come up. He said, right, he said, Pushman, Peter, married Cicely Todd from Sanford, Oxford. I said, that's right. He said, well, if you'll go along there, count six down, turn, count so many back. He said, there you are, you'll find his grave. And the officers, the airmates who was with us, he took a photograph of me at the grave.
Yeah.
And I had to give a speech and everything.
Yeah.
For the sole reason that His daughter, my niece, was in Australia. She's moved to Australia. And I had this all taken on one of those, and I sent it across to her. Oh, and we had his name put into Sanford Church.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. So where were you when VE Day, when the...
When it was over.
Fire, yeah.
We was in Hamburg.
Were you? What was
Hamburg? No, but just rained Hamburg, just before we got into Hamburg.
Right.
We knew a day before Andy was going to finish.
How did you know that?
Well, it was rumoured. You always get rumoured, see? And when we got into Hamburg and all that, we had to pick up all the soldiers and we had to take all the armoury off of them and everything. And you can see there was civilians taking civvy clothes to these soldiers who stripped all their soldiers and put civvies on. But we took no notice.
Yeah.
All we were actually concerned was take everything off. But when they was all together, they was all marched and put onto, we had to put them on an island. I forget what the island is. And of course, they had lovely sing songs and all that. And the officers in the German army, they was always at the back. In England, they're always in the front. And they was at the back. And they was all singing, and it was lilac bay then, and all the women was throwing this lilac all over the place, and they was singing lovely voices. And of course, you'd be surprised how many officers could speak English. And they said to us, "You can see all this, can't you? Everyone's all to us Germans and all praising us. I'll give you 6 weeks." And they turned right against us, and they'll all be all for you English.
Really? Yeah. What was Hamburg like? Because it had been bombed a lot.
Oh, it was terrible, because it was one of the biggest ports in Europe, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. When we got into Hamburg, they had a big W put on the big building. And there's a photograph in there somewhere. And with the W to show that the Welsh division got in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what did you do in Hamburg? Were you
didn't do a lot, for the sole reason that afterwards we engineers had to put things right. So roads had to be put right, the mines had to be thing, the bridges had to put right, and everything like that. We had Nazi prisoners with us to give us in. And the funny, when they dug a hole or anything like that, they had big long shovels and they dug there and put it there, and another one got from there and put it somewhere else. They never worked like we did.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Were there lots of displaced persons about at the end of
Not as I know of.
No.
But when we, before we got to Hamburg, we released a lot of Russian prisoners. And when we released them, they had big long coats on, and all on the back was a great big K on there. Released them, and of course some of them had some bottles of white stuff. And of course they started giving us some and said, "Oh, that did burn." So what we got, one of these bottles, we was by the railway then, we put it by the railway, poured it in, and somebody put match to it, and he goes, so whether it was vodka or what it was, but yeah.
Goodness. What did you think of the Russian soldiers?
We didn't have a lot to do with them. We only released them, and when you release them, we take them. We released a lot of Polish prisoners, and when we got there, the Polish who can speak in, and they said, "Would you be very kind to this man who looked after us?" He was a German, looked after. He said, "Because he treated us very, very good." Yeah.
Nice, isn't it? Right. Vincent Bolter, end of reel 4.